Thank you, Lance, for calling us to worship. Thank you, Dick, for leading us in worship. Thank you, Fred, for reading to us the Word of God. I feel wholly inadequate with the text that is before us this morning. But we'll see what the Spirit does. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord God, our rock and our Redeemer. Speak. Your servants are listening. Amen. This is a tough word this morning. It's not a word probably meant to encourage or much less inspire. It's a word, a hard word that Jesus speaks to His disciples. He speaks to His church. Not long ago, I overheard a mature Christian man, talking about a conversation he was having with a business partner, someone who was a non-Christian. And this mature Christian man really wants to see this gentleman become a Christian and has had a series of conversations with him. And as he was telling me about those conversations, he was saying that he told the man, this non-Christian man, "Look, Mike, we'll call him, you're a good man. You have good intentions. Your family is beautiful. You have a good family. You have a good heart. The following Jesus is about bringing your desires, your passions to Him. And submitting to Him. And as he went on to describe his conversation with this gentleman, nowhere did I hear the word death, die. Nowhere did I hear in the call of Jesus the text that we read this morning. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. I think we have a tendency to want to boil down, to want to domesticate the call of the Christ. I know I do this when I'm encouraging people to come to worship. You may do this too. Oh, why don't you come and join us? It's a good family. We're warm-hearted people. We've got this program, and we've got this thing going, and we can do this for you. And we sell the church as a place of religious goods and services. And what we neglect to mention is any word about the cross, about death, about dying, about what that means following Jesus. How different is Jesus' invitation that He gives to His disciples? Who do people say that I am? Peter answered for them. Well, some say Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? Well, you are the Christ. And He orders them not to tell anyone because Jesus goes on to say the Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer many things, be rejected and handed over to the chief priest, the teachers of the law. And He's got to die. And on the third day, be raised from the grave. This is scandalous to Peter. So much so that Peter takes him aside and says, No, you don't get it, Jesus. That's not what the Messiah does. The Messiah is the one who comes in and instead of dying, makes others die. He is the one that comes in and kicks the Romans out, sets up the kingdom, and I've already got my throne picked out where I want to sit by you on your side and rule with you. That's what the Messiah does. This is scandalous to Peter. And it's scandalous to us. Because we want, like Peter, to fashion the call of Jesus on our terms, how we would like to hear it. My kids love to play with my phone. And I rarely let them play on my phone because I'm selfish. No. They mess it up. But I always know when they've been on my phone. How do I know that? Because I go to the pictures. And there are untold number of pictures. Pictures of guess who? Themselves. Picture after picture of the selfie. Because that is the age in which we live. The selfie. We are selfie kind of people. And Jesus' call to deny your selfie is contrary to everything that is ingrained in human nature. Human nature is about self-preservation. Do whatever it takes to protect our way of life, our children, our kingdoms, so much so that we will kill the enemy to protect us. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must be willing to die to let the enemy kill you. We live in a culture where the dominant presentation of Christianity has little room for a cross. The vision of the good life excludes a cross. We will sing its praises. We will lift it up as a symbol. We will extol its benefits. We will sing of the cross. But we will remove its scandal and shun its discipline. I read this week that the gospel of American evangelicalism is not deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, but defend yourself, take up your ambitions and follow your dreams. Jesus will have none of it. And he takes Peter aside and he looks at Peter, but also looks at his disciples. And he rebukes him in the strongest possible language. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Here is what you need to understand, Peter. Here is what you need to understand, disciples, about what it means to follow me. It's not about winning. It is the call to lose. To join the losing side. The sin, of course, is as old as the garden, the temptation. We want to manipulate. We want to control. We want to command. We want to make the agenda of God our own. Our jaded hopes, our jaded desires, that's really what God wants for me, isn't it? So we form an alliance with the powers that we think would protect us, would give us shelter from the pain, would keep our suffering at bay, the perceived threat to our security. and we marshal whatever means to accomplish those ends. And in our fight against death, and in our struggle to avoid death, we end up colluding with the very tactics that death uses. We end up nailing Jesus to the cross. Notice that in our text this morning, the enemies of Jesus are nowhere in it. He's not talking to his enemies. He knows how to handle his enemies. Jesus, rather, is talking to his disciples. Because the biggest threat for Jesus and the biggest threat for us, for Christianity today, is not the enemy. It's for those who claim the name of Christ and then misappropriate that name for their own ends, who have another gospel that they want to give. One that does not involve suffering, rejection, and death. Instead of Christ on the cross, American Christianity too often preaches humanity and it improved. Christ without a cross. And notice that Jesus rebukes his disciples. Don't talk about the Messiah because you don't understand what that means. Jesus would rather his disciples not say anything about his Messiahship because they do not understand what the call to suffer. I wonder if he would say the same thing to us today. If we cannot hear this word as a word of threat to us, then I'm afraid that we have not heard this word today. Are we the people who have so little faith in Jesus' power that we are not willing to try Jesus' way, the way of the cross? Like the blind man at the beginning of this story, we are blind. We have been touched by Jesus. But when we open our eyes, we still don't see clearly. We still don't see. We need Jesus to touch us a second time to open our eyes. But here's the grace in this text. Only by the cross can you know life. The grace in this text is the call to die. To die to our illusions of human power. See, left deeply to our sinful selves, we will still seek to have it all at the expense of the other. And we will end up taking up the weapons of war to get, to keep, to preserve, to protect. When all along, that is not our job, but it is the job of God. Here's the good news of the cross. That only by losing your life for Christ and for the gospel, will you save it? It is about giving up. And the word for that is repentance. It's about saying, I can't do it. I cannot make my life. I cannot preserve my life. I cannot protect my life. It's to turn from self-preservation, from self-protection, from self-service, from the selfie culture, and to lose, to join the losing side, to lose your life. But it is not just a word of loss, but it is a word also of gain. Because here is the gospel of the cross. Every death entrusted to God carries the sure promise of new life. That the tomb that God seals becomes a womb where new life can come forth. You may have seen the movie The Revenant. Won Oscars last year. It's a tough movie. It's a real bear of a picture. But in that movie, the key character, Leonardo DiCaprio, he says, "I ain't afraid to die. I've done it already. I ain't afraid to die. I've done it already." That perfectly encapsulates the Christian's testimony. I ain't afraid to die. I've done it already. That's baptism. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans 6. You have been buried with Christ in baptism. You have died to your old self. Think about the symbolism of baptism. I mean, how awkward is it? You take someone and you shove them under the water backwards, completely helpless, into the water, and then back out. Symbolizing that you are dying and coming back up to new life. It is. Baptism is the symbol of the cross. That you are dying, placing your trust and your hope in the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Your identity that you receive in baptism, your identity is too important to be left up for your search for meaning. Christian life is available only to those who submit to the death of Christ. To a radical dismantling of the old. We, church, we are a community of the baptized. And we believe that God is found in our daily dying to self. It is a death that ends the dominion, the reign, the power of all other allegiances that claim us. All other identities. Our baptisms say, "I am mine no more." And we go out into the world to which we say, "I ain't afraid to die. I've done it already." So here's the invitation in the text. If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to pick up your instrument of death. An instrument of shame, an instrument of torture, an instrument that we have so sacralized and turned into something that's supposed to be beautiful. And it is, but not in the sense that it is typically worn. It's like wearing an electrocution chair around your neck. It is an instrument of death. That says, you are not your own. You are dead. There is a cost to following Jesus. And if you spend your life trying to save your life, Jesus says, you will lose it. But there is a cost. That is the cost of not following Jesus. I think the cost of not following Jesus is actually greater. Because if you seek to save your life, it will, like sand through your fingers, go away. To say we have victory over death is not to deny death, it's not to ignore it, and it's not to avoid it. It's to go through it in the name of Jesus Christ. The one who embraced it and the one who defeated it. Here's the invitation of God. There is no pleading here. There is no begging. There is just this promise that He gives to His church. A promise that is as wonderful as it is inescapable. Die. In death. In death to yourself and in an allegiance to Me, you will find yourself. You will find saving life. What needs to die today? What needs to die in this church? What do we need to put to death? You see, in death, at the cross, we take our agendas, our sins, our failures, our shortcomings, our doomed attempts to preserve our life, to stamp ourselves with importance, to protect ourselves. And we put them all up in a bowl, a ball, and we stick them in a tomb, and we roll the stone over it, and we entrust ourselves to God, the one who resurrected Jesus on the third day. And for those who are willing to die, Jesus, God in Jesus, has never failed to raise those. To God be the glory. Let's stand and sing.